Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we'll be going through Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, where we see that this world is not as it should be. We live in a sin-fallen world for right now, but soon and very soon, we will see the King. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10.
I'm weary of this world. I'm all set with it. This world's got nothing for me. I long for the day that Jesus Christ is here ruling and reigning. Just let me give you a few more verses because I want you to be excited about what's ahead of you. Isaiah chapter 11. I'll just stay in the book of Isaiah and float around. Isaiah 11, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Who is Jesse? He's the father of David. There's going to be a rod out of the stem of Jesse and a branch. That's the word netzer. That's where we get Jesus the Nazarene from. That's what Matthew prophesied of. Jesus the Nazarene. That's where we get this word from. He shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is what your king is going to be like. Listen, you guys are getting ready to vote in a few days. We're going to have our first debate next week of our two options for presidency of the United States. And all they do is they just boast of who they are and what they're able to do for you as the American people, right? They give you their credentials. They tell you why they're better than the other one. Listen, here's your king's credentials. Ready? Here are the listings of them in verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon your king. Number one, he will have the spirit of wisdom. He's going to be a really wise king, and he's going to have the spirit of understanding. He's really going to understand everything. He's not going to just say that he understands what you got going on so that he gets your vote. He already won the election. He's going to really understand what you've got going on. He's going to have the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might. He's going to have the spirit of knowledge, and he's going to have the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And in verse 3, it says, and shall make of him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. We don't know anybody like that. All we all do is judge by the sight of our eyes. Oh, they're dressed like that. They must be homely and poor. Oh, they're dressed like that. They must be ritzy and rich. Oh, they have that type of a car. Oh, they must have a really good job. Oh, they drive that type of a car. What does that guy do for a living? Oh, wow, that's his wife, and he's ugly. How did he get her? We judge like this all of the time. We make judgments based on sight. But our God, our King, he is going to judge not based on what he perceives or what he sees. And he's not going to reprove after the hearing of his ears. That's what we do. We hear something, we make a decision on it before we even have the facts straight. Not our King Jesus, but with righteousness, verse 4, he shall judge the poor, and he shall reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness. He is faithful and true, the scripture says. Faithfulness will be the girdle of his reins. He's not going to just say what you want to hear and then flip-flop when he gets in office. He's going to be faithful to the promises that he has made to you. This is your king. We're going to experience this when his kingdom comes down. You guys just sang it. I mean, it's more than just a great chant. It's more than just an opportunity for Stevie to do a drum roll in the midst of a song. King Jesus. Right? I mean, we all love that part, but do you even know what you're singing? Let your kingdom come down. This is what it's going to be. His kingdom is literally going to come down. And this is the experience that we are going to enjoy. Faithfulness and righteousness will be in office. And now just some of these things. And maybe it's because I just watched The Jungle Book with my kids on Friday night. I don't know, but these things fascinate me of what creation will be like. Do you know that the book of Romans says that creation groans for this day? Creation knows that this is not what the world is supposed to be. Listen to what it says here. Verse 6 of Isaiah 11, if you're with me. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. They're not going to eat the lamb. He's going to dwell with the lamb. You animal lovers are going to love this portion. And the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. I mean, this seems like Disney. But this is before sin entered into the world, this is what it was. There were no carnivores. There was no danger of your kid leading an animal that would eat it in today's culture. They were all just vegetarians. They would just eat of the vegetables and the fruits. And this is what it's going to be like. Your young child will be able to lead these types of animals that would normally be dangerous to them. Just imagine, just the kids from the toddler room. I think of my daughter Harper just pulling, you know, the leopard by the face or grabbing it and yanking it and say, come on, follow me. I mean, this is what the Bible says because it wants you to understand that this is going to be a day unlike the days that you are experiencing now. You can't even let your kids play in the driveway right now without you being out there because some car might pull up and snatch them away. You got to be leery of letting your kid take a bike ride around your neighborhood block because there are predators and there are dangers everywhere around us. I mean, this is supposed to be shocking. You're supposed to say, wait a minute, did I just read this right? A young child is going to lead? Yeah, the young child is going to be. You're not going to have to worry about it because animals are going to be in the state that they were created to be in when Jesus Christ is here reigning and ruling. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones, verse 7, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw. The lion shall eat straw. The lion is going to be our gym logo, Calvary Lions. If we have a school one day, Lord willing, Calvary Lions will be called. And we want the fiercest, meanest looking lion to be our logo. But it won't work for the millennial reign because the lion is going to eat straw. Could you imagine a picture of a lion with straw in its mouth, just sort of smiling? We don't want no Simba looking like lion or representation now, but in this time, a lion is not going to be harmful. A lion is not going to be fearful to us. Amazing to me. And I know it's just animals right now, but just the whole feel of the kingdom age. How glorious it's going to be. And the suckling child, verse 8, you know what that is? Baby who's nursing. A nursing baby shall play on the hole of a cobra. And the weaned child, the little toddlers, the toddler nursery room, they can go and they can put their hand in a cockatrice's den. That's speaking of deadly snakes. That's speaking of viper's nest. They can put their hole in there. Come here, little snake. You know, and the thing isn't going to bite. We don't even know what a serpent really looked like before the fall. The serpent is under the curse. You know that. In the beginning of Genesis, it tells us this. Genesis chapter 3, the serpent was cursed because it was through that creation that Lucifer appeared in and through to deceive Adam and Eve. And the curse was that he'd remain on his belly. It was upright in its initial creation. It was not a thing. I mean, if you did watch the Jungle Book, or if you haven't, be careful when you get to the serpent scene. It's really scary. It's really strange. It's really demonic. This serpent like hypnotizes little jungle boy. But what you got to understand here is that a serpent in its original creation, it didn't freak Adam and Eve out. It was a thing of beauty. It was a thing of splendor. When it spoke, they weren't like, oh, the serpent's speaking. I mean, there was a draw to it. There was an appeal to it. They're going to put their hand in the serpent's hole or nest. And there's not going to be any lashing out or poison that is inserted to them. I mean, I don't even know how to defend my children from bees right now. They keep getting stung every week, let alone vipers and cobras. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all the holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. I can't fathom a day like this because our world is so not full of the knowledge of the Lord. Churches aren't full of the knowledge of the Lord. Churches don't even teach scripture anymore. Churches have abandoned the holy word of God. Christians don't even know the word of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord. But the whole earth during this time is going to have an understanding, a cognizance of his, of who he is, his being. They're going to be aware. They're going to be privy to him. Like the waters that cover the earth, so the earth is going to be covered with the knowledge of the Lord. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me what's before us, what this world will be like. In that day, verse 10, shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for a sign to the people. And to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. How about rest? How many of you guys are ready for some rest? Real rest. Just real rest. No more temptation for us, at least. No more sin for us. I mean, we're going to be away from it. No more devil. Again, sin will be in this realm. Sin will be there through people who have not received Jesus, but not for us. We're away from all that. I long for the day of rest. So when he says, you should pray, your kingdom come. I mean, I'm out of time only on my first point. You guys can read more later. Isaiah 32, Ezekiel 34, Zechariah chapter 12. You could read all day long. Matthew 24, Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 5. The scriptures are full of what it's going to be like. But rest? I should have started here this morning. I just can't even imagine what it would be like to have true rest. Not a 20-minute nap, not an hour nap, but just ongoing rest because Jesus is right there in front of me. Thy kingdom come. Lord, we long for your kingdom. That's the later subject matter. But the now subject matter is this. Rewind. After I get saved and I live in this world, I now have a civil war within me forevermore. I now have Dave's kingdom, and I now have the kingdom of Jesus within me that are constantly clashing and fighting. Anybody else? I so get the testimony of Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 7. I often do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I do want to do. This prayer, then, is a plea to God. This is the first of all of the petitions that he lays out for us. God, I want your kingdom to come, which means this. After my conversion, I want there to be submission. After I receive you as my Lord and my Savior, and you deliver my soul from hell, I want you to reign and rule in my life now like you're going to in the kingdom age. Does that make sense for you? This has to become personal. It cannot just be universal for the church. It has to be personal for the Christian. It has to be this. God, I'm asking you for your will in my life to be done. Not a lot of Christians are operating in that way. Because it's really difficult. Because what you're saying to somebody that you can't see is that I prefer your will over my will. This is totally foreign to our human nature. Never in our life have we ever wanted somebody else's will to be done over our own wills. We learn it when we get married. There's got to be compromise. I got to give her will instead of my will. Okay, that's where you want to go to dinner. This is where I wanted to go to dinner. Is there a cheeseburger on the menu? Yeah, there is. Okay, we'll go there then. There's compromise. We learn to bow our will to. Then you have children, and your will is to sleep, and their will is to scream. So you have to learn. I have to bow to their will, right? Your will is to go and do this. Their will is for you to go and take them to do that. Okay, I have to bow my will to their will. Your will is to spend your money here. Their will is to spend your money there. So you have to bow your will to their will. You learn that because you have to learn that. But when you come to Jesus, it's not this reluctant submission, okay, your will be done. It shouldn't be that because it's not, when you say to him, your will be done, it shouldn't be done reluctantly because his will is always a better will. And it shouldn't be done out of resignation either, like, okay, I guess now that I'm a Christian, I guess it has to be your will that's done, I resign. No, it's Lord, your will be done. And oftentimes, it's not an exciting exclamation. Not for me, at least. Many times, it's this, Lord, I'm trying to trust you. This is what I want. This is what I think. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Because, Lord, I'm trying to trust you. Lord, there are many, many things that I can do in and for you, but nothing that will please you apart from faith. I can't see. I can't understand. I can't make sense. I don't get it. But your kingdom come, your will be done in me. Why should you pray that? I'll give you two reasons in my closing. Number one, because of his wisdom. You know people, church, listen to me. You know people that are smart and have knowledge, and you know people that have wisdom. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. There is nobody wiser than your God. There's a lot of smart people in this world, a lot of intelligent people in this world, but they don't have any street smarts. They don't know how to get... Think about how many people... I remember playing sports. I remember specifically this one guy that I would wrestle for in the summer. Great wrestler, understood all the technicalities of the sport, but he did not know how to articulate them. He did not know how to get it out of his brain, out of his mouth, into his wrestler's ears, and it made him a poor coach. There's a lot of people like that in this world. They got a ton of stuff up here, but they can't get it out. They don't know how to speak it into words that are understandable. They're not fluent. They're not articulate. They're not good orators of what they have, so it does nobody else any good besides themselves. They have a lot of knowledge, but they don't know what to do with that knowledge. It's one thing when someone has knowledge. It's good. It's resourceful. It's wonderful. But when they have wisdom and they know how to apply that knowledge, and they do apply that knowledge perfectly every time, well, that's worthy of you trusting them. Your God, you just read it with me in Isaiah 11, is full of the spirit of wisdom. This is my number one reason why you should say, okay, God, your will be done. Let me illustrate it for you. It's like this. Several of times over our building project, by the way, the gym is almost done. You should drive by when you leave here. It looks amazing. God has been wonderful to us. Several times through this building project, I've been called outside to go meet with the contractors, the builders, and those who are, you know, that specialize in the field that they do work in. And several times I've had to make decisions on the spot. And many of times of those instances, when I'm asked, what do you want to do here, this or that, or do you want it to look like this or that, or how do you want it to be done, I'll often say this to them after I sort of kick it around in my own mind that is limited in understanding construction, which will shock some of you. Many times I will say this after I go through it all. What do you think? Why do I say to them, what do you think? Because they're the master builders. That's their specialty. And they will then say to me this. This is what I think should be done. And I'll say, then your will be done. You do what you think is right because you're the expert. I'm not. How much more does it make sense to our master builder, God, who's got the blueprints to our lives before we were even formed in our mother's bellies, to say, God, I only see the page I'm on. You see after me. You see before me. I don't have a clue how to make this decision. Lord, your will be done. And my second reason for why you should trust the Lord and make this declaration, and this is what he's challenging me on. It might move me to tears, so if it does, forgive me. Is because his word says that he's a God of love. And I've got to learn that, and I've got to believe that with all of my heart if I'm going to trust him with his will over my will. Out of all of the things he could have said that he is, he said in 1 John 4:8, I am love. Do we believe, and I'm not asking you just like do you believe, but do all of us here this morning believe that he is a God of love? You don't have to answer. What will tell you what your answer is how you respond when your will is up against his will. If we believe that he's a God of love, we will trust him. Because everything that comes to us and touches us is motivated from love. And nothing that is not profitable for us will come to us. Everything that he will send and allow to come our way will be constructive, never destructive. Will always be to build up, never to tear down. And we'll always have the end goal in mind, where my decision-making is the present. His is the final destination. So that's how I come to a place of, Lord Jesus, your kingdom come, not just literally one day, however many years from now, but your kingdom come in my life. You reign and you rule. Your kingdom defeats Dave's kingdom, please, Lord, every day, because, Lord, I trust you because you are full of wisdom and you are full of love. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, worshiping you can come. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. More important than your necessary food, look at the order. More important than even us saying, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Because if I'm asking for his will to be done, and I'm willing to walk in his ways, I'm going to sin less and less and less. Isn't sin, in essence, the exalting of my will above his will? Father, your will be done. Wow, I avoid a big mess in my life. On earth, right now, in me, as it is in heaven. What makes heaven, heaven, church, is that the will of God is being perfectly executed day in and day out. What makes this world spiraling downward out of control is the absence of the elevation of God's will. This is man taking the bull by the horns and doing what man thinks is right and what man wants to do. These are the effects. But there is a day coming. There is a day coming when King Jesus will reign and rule. Until then, may they, the world, see the kingdom in and through us. Right? May they see the kingdom in and through us, that as his kingdom comes, there would be conversions through our lives. As people look at us and see submission demonstrated, that they will see, man, something is different about you. That is always the desire, that there would be an attractiveness about our lives. Something is different about you. And that they too come to Jesus, that the kingdom would come in our lives, but also to the lives of those who are around us, because they see Jesus in us. When you see Jesus and you taste him, you will find out that he is always only good and he is very desirable. May we represent him well. Amen. May they see the invisible kingdom, like Kelvin said, through the visible, through us.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.